Hello, Internet, and welcome to another episode of All My Issues. In this episode, episode 71, we talk about Tiger King. It's kind of everybody's talking about. So we figure we might as well discuss it as well. And if nothing else, we have a topic to talk about that we've all watched. So without further ado, let's get started. I'm Rick.
I'm Sam.
I'm Chris.
And we're in quarantine, I guess.
Yeah.
As most of the rest of the country is.
Tent and so, quarantino.
Quarantino. So, but that hasn't stopped us from, practicing safe social distancing by podcasting remotely.
Yeah.
We got that going on.
I know. We're more than six feet apart.
We are. So this well, has got to be most of us safe.
So close yet so far away.
Far away. So
I mean, I'm not saying that I'm recording this outside Sam's window, but I'm recording this outside Sam's window.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I forgot about that. And there's going to be video uploaded later too, but
yeah,
that's a whole other channel.
Shower cam.
Yeah. That hasn't stopped us from watching stuff though. Right. So then there's one compelling thing that has seemed to have captivated all of America.
Yeah.
Right.
Joe Exotic. You know what's even the craziest thing? If you look on for Tiger King on IMDb, you know who the first person is as far as the cast?
I do, because I looked it up. It's that bitch Carol Baskin.
Oh my goodness. Joe cannot win.
No. That is crazy. But obviously we're talking about Tiger King, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So, and we've all seen it.
I mean, Tiger King, Murder, Mayhem, and Madness.
Oh, that's right. There is a little bit more to that title than just Tiger King. So, but yeah, and we've all seen it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we all probably have opinions and thoughts about it.
Yes.
So where should we begin?
why don't we start with the hair?
With the hair,
because the first thing
the
you
hair,
know.
Yeah. Well, and it's not just Joe Exotic's hair either. Everybody's hair in this movie is
impressive,
pretty amazing
in its own way.
Yeah. I don't know if they had the same, they went to the same barber shop or same whatever, but or maybe this is just what they do in Oklahoma. I don't know.
Yeah. I have no idea. It's kind of like, I think as long as you show up to, the hairdresser school for like a week, you get your license.
Something like that. I don't know. It's like their haircuts are on a whole other level.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I would say the most impressive thing about the show is that like every episode, you'd be watching it, and then someone would say something which would cause you to go, wait, what? What? Like, and then that would set up the next episode.
Right. Exactly. And I think I saw somebody make some comment where the most normal person is the Colombian drug dealer that murdered somebody.
Right. Yeah. I've said that multiple times. I'm like,
how is that the most normal person on the show? How's that? I mean, geez. And the crazy thing is, when I saw this come out on Netflix, when I saw the title Tiger King and everything, and I saw the guy's picture, I saw Joe Exotic's picture on the front of it. I immediately recognized that guy because I saw the guy when he was running for president. Saw videos of him.
I saw what on John Oliver's show, but I saw that too. They show clips from like, oh yes, I do remember this.
Yeah, I immediately recognized them, and I don't know why. I think somebody forwarded me the YouTube video of his campaign video or whatever, and then I also saw him on John Oliver. But yeah, I'm just like, that guy is just wow. Okay, he's out there, and then you know, so I kind of knew a little bit about the guy just from that, because of course when I saw the guy's campaign video, I had to see whether or not I wanted to support him in his presidential campaign.
Did you vote for him?
He didn't win though, but you know, as we all know and learn, I guess. But yeah, I had no idea how crazy he was gonna get.
Are you talking about Joe Exotic's the documentary, or are you talking about the presidency?
Both, I guess. Both, really. Okay. Who would have made a better president, you guys feel?
What are my choices?
Trump, Clinton, I'm just asking.
Dealing with our, with our current, maybe we're getting too political here. I don't know. That's not really our thing, I guess.
I guess it's not. But I mean, I haven't seen a tiger with coronavirus, so I'll just leave it to that.
There you go.
You know who would have made a better president? That bitch, Carol Baskins.
Carol Baskins.
Let's just like. For those of you who have been living under a rock and have not seen Tiger King, a little bit of explanation. There's a man down in Oklahoma whose name is, he calls himself Joe Exotic. And he has a fascination with big cats, mostly tigers. And down in Oklahoma, he started basically a private zoo for big cats. And the mayhem just goes from there.
Yeah, it is the least likely subject for a docu-series, 7-episode documentary series. And yet, you can't look away.
Right. You know, and despite the subject matter, you know, Joe Exotic is crazy in and of himself and everything. It just he's a character, you know, he's larger than life for sure. But I think the thing that just continuously shocked me throughout the whole series was just everybody's obsession with these big cats. Like, I didn't even realize like this was that big of a thing.
Yeah, well, I think the closest we have ever came to was Mike Tyson with his two tigers when he was living out, you know, in Ohio.
So. Yeah, in Southington, yeah. Yes.
And you saw Michael Jackson's little zoo.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
But there's one in Deerfield. There's a little petting thing, and there's a tiger on the billboard for it that I have to drive through
in
my hometown. So, but I've never checked it out.
But it's just crazy the obsession though that these people are like they like are feel like, you know, it's a compulsion where they seem to have to have these animals.
Yeah, it seemed very cultish at first too.
Right.
Like everyone was like, oh, but the cats, you know, I love taking. Oh, he's not paying me except for $100 a week, but I really like playing with the cats. You know, you're
right, right. And I just like, you know, and I mean, I like animals and everything, but like, I don't think I would, I'd be willing to do that.
No,
I don't know. It's
no, there's no
strange
chance.
To me.
So, I guess first off, let's, one other thing I want to talk about is the expired Walmart meat.
right.
That makes appearances in like five of the episodes. That is crazy to me. Yeah, that they would go through the meat first, the employees, and take what looked good.
Right.
Yeah, it was just cut. Kind of, they're like, oh, this is some good meat here. I was like, it's expired. How is that good meat?
Right. How can it be good?
Well, I mean,
I guess
they were correct. It's not all expired, but it's been out of the temperature range.
Yeah.
Because they have,
and maybe that expiration date is—it's just a suggestion.
Yeah. So if inside scoop. So if it gets to the point where it's about to expire, Walmart throws it in the freezer before it gets the day before it hits that, so that they can donate it. But they weren't bringing it back in a refrigerated truck.
No.
Everything on there says use or freeze by. And the it didn't look frozen in the video, but regardless. Yeah, it's crazy. So there's several park owners in the show that each deserve their own little discussion. So let's start with Carol fucking Baskin.
Oh, that bitch. That bitch, Carol Baskin.
She came off as if she was like a crusader against people having the cats. And then it turns out she has a bunch of cats in little cages.
Right. And I don't know. I don't understand her angle completely because, yeah, it seems like she's a little bit hypocritical.
Yeah.
So, and she definitely doesn't seem to be super stable either. I don't know.
No, when you first meet her, she is, you know, she has some of like the weirdest. Her wardrobe is like ridiculous.
You know who she reminds me of, and Rick, you won't understand this reference, but the teacher in Harry Potter. It's always so kind and everything, but underneath it, you can tell there's like a homicidal maniac.
Oh man, yeah, that flower crown that she wears is kind of it's a little unsettling,
and then that greeting, hello cool cats.
Yeah, cool cats and kittens.
I'm like, wait a minute, it's like 2000, the 2000s, right? The 60s have been. wants to try, and her angle is to we're here to save the cats, and like we said, she literally is doing exactly what she's trying to fight, and that's like the crazy thing.
Exactly. She just wants the cats just all to herself, it seems like.
She runs a sanctuary. Not a
sanctuary.
But
sanctuary.
But it costs money to get in, but she uses volunteers to help her out.
Right.
And probably doesn't have to pay taxes because of that.
That's probably true.
Yeah. Because my neighbor has a wolf sanctuary, which is to say that he owns two wolves in a large pen, sometimes up to seven or eight of them. But right now there's just two. And
I think we have the making of another documentary here, Chris.
Two wolves.
What's his hair look like?
I don't know because I don't see him because I think he's a serial killer.
Oh, okay. this might be a whole other, maybe be more along the lines of Making a Murderer than Tiger King.
Like one time I just saw him throw a rib cage into the pen with them to let them eat it. And I didn't, it was weird. He just took a rib cage out of a black plastic bag and threw it in the pen.
Oh, wow. Right.
He doesn't even live in the house anymore.
What the heck? That's weird.
I'm not even joking.
The wolves are still there?
The wolves are still there. He comes back and feeds them. His whole thing is he wants to reintroduce them to nature, so he doesn't provide them with human contact because they're wolves and wolf hybrids. Yeah. Huh. He's a weirdo.
Okay.
Allegedly a weirdo, I probably should say, so I don't get sued.
Yeah. Well.
<All right. laughs> So there's Carol Baskins who owns a Big Cat Rescue. We have Joe Exotic who owns the first name that we can remember is GW Zoo.
Was named after his brother, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's a nice tribute.
Well, the GW, doesn't that stand for the Greater Wynwood or whatever the name of the town is? So, like the full name like that, has his brother's name in it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, and then there's also Doc Antle.
Yeah, he's a character too.
Yeah, from the Myrtle Beach Safari.
Yeah.
who runs it almost like a cult in order to have multiple wives or partners.
Yeah, that was kind of weird too. And again, it seems like he's able to do this because these other people have this obsession with tigers and big cats.
Now he when he was 15, he spent time with
a yogi or something,
a weird Dalai Lama guy that had a lion.
Oh yeah, that's right, yeah.
And so that's where he learned how to communicate with big cats and also learn his lifestyle of having what some would call a harem.
Yeah, I guess you could say harem. Yeah, that's probably safe to say that. Yeah,
or sister wives. Maybe that's the nice way.
Yeah,
he's like the big cat Charlie Manson.
it's kind of like what he is.
David Koresh.
He's got some pretty sweet hair though.
So instead of compounds, he does. They all have an interesting hair.
Yeah,
even that bitch Carol Baskin.
Her
hair is like weird frizzy. Like it doesn't behave.
And then she even bedazzles it with those flower
halo
thingies that she wears, crowns or whatever.
And then there's the last guy. What was his name? Gosh.
Oh, we got Jeff.
Well, Jeff. We'll get to Jeff. But there was one other. There was the drug dealer. The person got arrested for the largest amount of drug. What was his name? Mario or something like that?
Oh, hold on. It was...
Mario Tabrow. I don't know how you say his last name. And
oh, yes.
He runs a scary zoo that you like have to have an appointment to go into. And
yeah, which is that's a weird thing too, right?
I have a feeling that's just a cover up for something else, but
that's what it seems like. It has to be, right?
He likes animals.
You gotta set a an appointment.
Yeah. Right.
He likes animals and needs to launder some money. That's what I think.
That's what that seems like.
Yeah.
More power to him, because like we said before, he was the most normal out of all of them.
Right, right, exactly.
So like the documentary, this docuseries is set up as like a series of interviews with behind the scenes footage. And like the cast of characters is just crazy.
It is crazy. You wouldn't even, I don't even know. If somebody tried to put together a movie with all these crazy characters in it, all the ones that we actually see in this documentary, I don't think anybody would believe the movie would be, you know.
We should try to cast the movie.
We should. And well, speaking of which, did you see, I guess they're talking about making a series out of this documentary.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure with as popular as it is, it goes without saying that someone's going to try and capitalize on it.
Yeah, well, I think McKinnon is kind of slated as Carol Baskin is the one thing I was reading. I don't know how true that is. Kate McKinnon from Saturday Night Live.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know how true that is. I tossed around the name of David Spade for Joe Exotic, but I was reading a thing where he says that he doesn't feel like he could take on the role.
Yeah, I saw that as well. David Spade has actually interviewed several of the people from here, from the show.
Oh, really?
In the last couple of weeks. He had John Finley on there.
Oh, man.
One of Joe's two husbands.
Yeah.
He had Rick Kirkham.
Oh, yeah.
When he interviewing John Finley, did he have a shirt on?
He did. He actually talked a little bit about the choice of not wearing a shirt. He also has a full set of teeth now.
What? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, he has a full set of teeth.
Got a job with insurance. And
I guess, yeah. Making some of that, you know, documentary money somehow.
Yeah. We didn't mention Joey.
Can we go? Yeah. Because we need to mention that. It's like, you know, Joe Exotic was gay. And he married two guys at the same time. And the crazy, but one was named John Finley, as we talked about. And what was the other guy's name? I'm trying to find
Dylan Passage.
But there's also his one that
No, go ahead.
The one that committed.
That's the one we were trying to talk about.
Yeah, it's Travis, right?
Travis something.
Yeah. That's crazy in and of itself, too. Which seems like totally accidental, right? Like he's just messing around with a gun and.
It was like watching like one of those comedy movies where you're like, that gun's going to go off. And.
Lo and behold, it actually happens. Yeah,
but can we just wrap our minds around the fact that these two guys were not gay?
Right, right. That's what I don't. But you know what? I guess meth, right? I mean,
of drugs and big cats.
Yeah, drugs and big cats,
and whiskers on kittens.
A few of some people's favorite things.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way I met my first husband.
Yeah. Well, and also the one woman that got her arm like ripped off.
Yeah.
Her name was Kelsey Sanfrey.
Yeah. But, you know, you think something like that happens to you and. Well, you know, oh shit, I'm not going to go back to the zoo.
Well, here's the thing. She could have kept like her hand, her arm. They were like, yeah, we can fix it, but it's going to take 2 years of rehab. And she chose for them to just lop it off. It's like,
well, you got to figure 2 years of surgery and rehab how's she going to pay for that? Because yeah, I can't imagine the Joe Exotic insurance plan is all that awesome.
It probably is not, yeah.
But again, why?
I still think I might try to find some way to pay for it.
I'm going to try to find a way for it. What are they going to do? Take it back?
Yeah, that's
is there repo man now? Yeah. I got to worry about Forrest Whitaker and Jude Law coming back and taking it.
But it seemed like there was no even hesitation in that. Oh, no, just take it.
Right.
I don't need that arm.
Back to work in 5 days.
Right. And that's crazy.
And
to work in 5 days.
And she came off as like the most level headed and normal person out of the people who work there.
Indeed. So what the heck, man?
I'm just trying to understand how did she get her arm in there?
I know this. She said it's her fault because she got interviewed by David Spade and I watched it. So there's two different type of pens where they feed them, and she was at the wrong type of pen to have her arm there, and Tiger latched a hold of it. Like the other pen, it wouldn't have been an option. The other type of pen they had. So I don't know. I don't know the exact logistics, but I learned several things from watching those David Spade interviews.
That's good. So this might be a thing I need to go back and research. But that it's still just crazy to me though that like you'd have that kind of traumatic experience happen to you at work, and then return to work, and in what in 5 days.
Yeah.
Right.
That is crazy to me. Crazy.
Let's I'm at IMDb now, so let's start at the top and talk about some of these characters and who should play them.
All right.
Carol fucking Baskin.
And her story, the whole I was married once and left my husband for a rich daddy.
Yeah.
Left my abusive relationship for it.
And then the husband, the rich daddy, quote unquote, disappears.
Right.
With a will that happens to disappear that she had unfettered access to for a couple of days.
Right. Nothing suspicious about any of this.
Right. Am I the only one that's like, because she was based in Florida, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Am I the only one that just feels sometimes that Florida just literally drops the ball on any investigation whatsoever?
You could have just ended like, that sentence of the ball.
Right.
It's kind of like, do you guys not understand? anything?
Nobody, no crime.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of crazy because you would think any of the stuff that was presented in the documentary, I'm sure they're just scraping the surface of some of the weird stuff about that too, but you'd think there would be like some kind of investigation or just something, but
let's just break something down. Joe Exotic got a tiger bit his shoe, right? And he thought someone put perfume on it.
right.
She laughs about it and she goes, that's no way. You wouldn't be able to get a person to attack you with on that. You'd have to put like sardine oil on them.
Right.
Why do you have that as a go-to?
Yeah, why do you exactly? Where do you even get that from? They're just gonna lick that. They don't really care about that. Sardine oil, that's what it's at.
Sardine oil. they said I put him in the meat grinder. I couldn't even be able to fit his hand in the meat grinder.
Right.
Sounds like that you had to come up with plan B.
The list of options that she went through before she finally was able to come up with something that worked. Yeah, it's just crazy.
All right, so who would you have play Carol fucking Baskin?
I think the lady from the video, music video.
gosh, that music video lady looked exactly like her. that was actually weird. I don't know. I think Michelle Pfeiffer, she put on some weight.
I could maybe see that maybe.
It was she was Catwoman.
It's a good point. If it was 20 years right, ago. Yeah. I'd say Kathy Bates.
Yeah.
Her or what's her name from the Goldbergs and Reno 911?
But that would be she would be good actually for that.
Just Wendy. Watch. Wendy.
I hope you say Williams.
It's Wendy Wilson. No, <it's, laughs> I think it's Wendy. Let me see if I can find her. How you doing?
Wendy McClendon Covey. Covey, right?
Yeah.
Wendy McClendon?
Yes.
I have no idea that that's what her last name was. I would have never.
Yeah, I wouldn't have.
And she's awesome, though. She's hilarious. She's cool. And she would be good at that role, probably.
All right. Did you pick someone, Rick?
So that.
Man, I think I have to go with Sam's pick on that one because I think she would be good in that.
Yeah. All right. Joe Exotic.
And I mean, I guess the obvious choice here would probably be, you know, the guy that kind of looks a little bit like him, you know, Joe Dirt, but, you know, David Spade, but that's too easy. So we
yeah, think, yeah, you can't do
you know, can't he said he would like to play him. And I kind of agree after David Spade, because he said David Spade, Brad Pitt.
I could see Brad Pitt kind of do that, take on that role. Yeah. Oh yeah. The Jared Leto dressed up as him at a viewing party, apparently.
Did you see Sylvester Stallone's whole family dressed up as the cast?
Did they really?
Yes.
That's kind Stallone of awesome. Was, that's what I'm going to search for when we're done here. That's crazy.
Wow.
Sam, you?
What about... Who played Joe Dirt? Oh, that is
David Spade. The Joe was Joe.
It could be. Let's see. Part of me wants to say Danny McBride, but maybe. Let me think. Maybe Dax Shepard could be.
Dax Shepard, Red has expressed interest.
I could see Dax Shepard in that role, actually. Yeah, I mean, he's kind of, you know, yeah, he's kind of, you know, you just need to grow a crappy mustache and a mullet, and he's probably got it. He's probably got it together.
What about Doc Antle?
Ooh, Doc Antle.
I'm trying to remember who
the Myrtle Beach many wives guy.
Oh,
Bhagavan Antle.
Oh, I think I had somebody for him. And I'm trying to think. Oh, who would be him?
I'm gonna go with Val Kilmer.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer. Yeah. Who else will play this guy? I see how. Oh, be good. You guys still there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think. Well, come on. Okay. Who's? What about Carol's third husband?
Howard. You
know, I know this guy's not an actor, but I'm thinking Mitch McConnell. similar jaw structure, I think.
Honestly, while he doesn't, I've got no semblance that he would be like this. I feel that you could just pull from the talent pool of people who play elder Nazi generals. Because yeah. He just has the facial structure.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I don't have a good actor for him.
I don't have a good actor for him either. I don't quite know who.
All right, so what that leads us to,
John Finley.
I'm thinking Colin Farrell.
Yeah, I'm thinking Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum, that's a good one too.
Channing Tatum would be just because this is the end. It would be Channing Tatum.
All right, so then we come to Rick Kirkham, who's the documentary maker.
And honestly, he's the guy that I feel almost the worst for, I think. Like, yeah. He lost all of his equipment. You know, like...
He lost everything.
And I kind of feel bad for us, too, because what did we not get to see?
Right.
You know?
He said a lot of animal abuse.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wouldn't want to necessarily see that, but...
Yeah.
But, I mean, there had to be a lot of craziness, though, too.
Yeah. He's not an actor, but I'd go Maury Povich.
Oh, I could see that.
Oh yeah.
I'm thinking James Woods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so that brings us to John.
Yeah.
Reinke. Mm-hmm. I think I saw somebody say Matthew McConaughey for him.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, I kind of see it.
Especially the True Detective version of
that. Yeah. I still need to see that. I haven't seen it.
Oh, Jesus. What, don't have the time now?
I might be able to fit it in at some time. I don't know. For some reason, I don't know why, but
what are the chances a guy that works at a tiger shelter is missing two limbs and neither and didn't have anything to do with the tigers?
right. That's pretty crazy too. Oh man, yeah. What was he doing? He was ziplining and fell ziplining, which is that's got to be the craziest thing ever, too. Like I've never, you know, I don't know how many ziplining accidents occur every year, but you know, apparently that happened to that guy, and he ended up at Joe Exotic's park.
Yeah, I don't understand. Kelsey Saffery, who was the girl that lost her arm. Oh wait, yeah, Sam, did you cast?
Oh, no, I got Matthew McConaughey.
Okay,
Matthew McConaughey. Okay, yeah.
I don't know. I
can't. That's right. If you even looked at him and White Boy Rick, he kind of look alike.
Oh really? Yeah, yeah.
Kelsey, let's see. Could the woman from the Star Wars movie?
Rose?
Yeah.
Or Princess Leia. That's the only two we got.
I was kind of thinking like maybe like I was thinking that, you know, she would have to shave her head or whatever, but Elijah Dusko.
Oh.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
You talk about Faith for Buffy?
Yeah.
Wait, okay. Are we thinking of the same person, dude?
Yeah, I think so. I think she could pull it off because I'm telling you, that woman on Tiger King is probably the toughest person on there.
I understand that, but
right, right. And then
outside the box.
That tough as nails, Faith. Right?
That's the connection. Talk about whitewashing here.
I'll take it a step further since she's the most badass person on there.
I didn't even Gordy Weaver. Think of that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, now you're making me feel bad.
I'm like, all right, is anyone going to point this out? I'm like, what the?
Oh, man.
This is Gods of Egypt all over again.
Yeah, right. Right.
Wait, no. Tilda Swinton. How about that?
Tilda Swinton.
Oh my goodness. Let's see.
The next is Eric. Woman. Eric's the long-haired man with glasses who has one of my favorite lines in the whole show.
You know what? That's Iggy Pop right there.
I don't give a fuck how many people or how many girlfriends Ron or Doc Canto has.
I think that's Iggy Pop right there.
Eric Cowie, I could see Iggy Pop in that role.
Let's
see.
He's kind of got that look down a little bit.
And Sylvia is just a news reporter. She doesn't really count. Jeff Lowe.
No, she doesn't really count.
Jeff Lowe.
Wow, now that's
Mickey Rourke.
That's either Mickey Rourke or John Malkovich.
See, I want to do like dream casting of people that there's like have nothing in common with like how the person actually looks, just to be funny.
Oh,
okay.
So I'm going to start doing that. You guys do like realistic ones, and I'm just going to do okay. Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Oh man.
Woody Harrelson.
Hulk Hogan.
Let me tell you something, brother. Yeah. I like big cats.
Oh yeah, that's Macho Man, I guess.
Oh man, you took my next casting idea.
Oh, Macho Man for the
Tim Stark was hardly in it. James Gerritsen, he is the informant. The one that looks like a chuckle.
Oh. Yeah, that dude. Yeah, that dude was scum.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked, you just looked at him and he looked slimy, right?
Louis Anderson, is he still alive?
I don't think so.
Louis Anderson is still alive because he's in baskets with Zach Galifianakis. Yeah, he won an Emmy for playing Zach Galifianakis' character's mom. Yeah.
Really?
Yes. he won an Emmy or a Golden Globe. I know he won an award for it.
Whoa.
I sense a
second game. The first being, has Rick seen this incredibly popular franchise? And then the second would be, is this person still alive?
I thought he died. Oh my God.
Leanderson's still alive.
Man, that's crazy.
Oh my goodness. Let's see. What award he won recently?
He's like, that, he's, yeah, the 2016 Baskets extraordinary. Yeah, that is crazy to me.
Yeah, welcome. He won an Emmy. Yep, for Outstanding Supporting Actor, 2016. Yep.
Wow. See, I thought.
Hey, Louis Harris, I thought you were dead.
Yeah, I thought, well, you know, good for him that he's winning awards.
Actually, I'm not dead. I've got someone better who would embody that role.
Yeah.
Christian Bale. He just needs 7 months to prepare for it.
He could do it.
Oh.
Don't underestimate Christian Bale.
You know who we need to get out of retirement? The bully from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
And the kid? The kid bully?
What? He wasn't a kid. He was like a rich guy who wanted Pee-wee's bike.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And he was in Teen Wolf and Teen Wolf 2.
Oh, yes. He was in Teen Wolf 2?
There is.
Yeah.
T-O-O.
He was a Teen Wolf, too. Let me find his name. Hold on here. Cast of Teen Wolf.
That guy would be good for that role. That guy, his name is Mark Holton. And he played Francis.
Yes.
Whatever happened to him?
I don't know. Let's see. He's still alive. He's not dead.
He's not dead. That's good.
He was in Leprechaun Returns was the last thing he did.
Oh, because he was in the original Leprechaun too.
Oh, was he? See?
Yeah.
He prized his role, I'm thinking. He's in Tim and Eric. Awesome show. Great job. There's a few other things here. He played John Wayne Gacy in the Gacy movie.
Oh, he was in Star Trek Deep Space Nine for an episode. Not seeing a lot of repeating work here.
My man.
Yeah. My man. All right. So who are we on?
Silent Glover.
By the way, do you guys know who wrote Teen Wolf?
I did, but it was in. It's somebody pretty notable for the first one. The second one was like I think nobody though.
Yeah, Jeff Loeb.
Let me see.
Jeff Loeb. That's what it was. I knew it was somebody big. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, for Alan Glover, I'm thinking maybe Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, I'm sorry, I've gotten so far.
That could be
Alan Glover. Oh, that's the Hitman.
Yeah,
the Hitman. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or what's his name? Oh, what's his name? No, not Michael Chiklis. No, he's too short. Plays a good thing, but...
You guys just sticking to the ball.
Oh, you know what? I got it. The guy, the bad guy from Avatar.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The military guy, right?
Yes.
Curly whatever from Tombstone. I couldn't believe Curly Bill.
Yes.
Yeah. I could see that too. Yeah.
So is that all the major players?
Yeah,
that's most of the major ones, at least.
Yeah, I mean, there's Joe Exotic's last husband, I guess, or latest husband, I should say.
Yeah, he was barely in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's.
So do we know if he's gay or not?
I don't know.
I think that's just so weird to me. It's like
it's weird. Either way, he probably likes big cats, though.
Yeah,
he likes I think big that's cats. Pretty safe to say.
I like big cats, and I cannot lie.
You know, it only costs $2,000 to get a tiger. That's all I'm saying.
Right. That's it. That is crazy.
We could all chip in.
We have our own tiger.
We have our own tiger and six boyfriends.
Oh, man. That is crazy. I guess where should we go next? There's so much to cover on this show, I think, but we got the tigers. That's what the name of the show is. And it's just, it still just baffles me just how crazy the obsession with the exotic animals. It's just weird to me, but it's probably the least crazy thing in the whole show.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the turns that happened where, Carol's an anti-crusader. Oh, wait, no. She runs her own park. Oh, Joe is, a little weird, but, he's got two husbands. Everything is just like one thing after another. Doc Antle is, he runs a park too. He seems kind of normal. Oh, wait, he's got like six wives that he's been grooming since they were 17.
Right. And what about like the one that like they were interviewing that left him or whatever?
Yeah.
Even she didn't seem like she was that like. It seemed unclear as to even the real reason why she left him. You'd think anybody else that would like kind of escape that kind of like situation would be like, thankful that they got out of there and talk bad about it, the whole experience. But she did not seem to be that way about it at all to me.
I think for the most part, I think she might have just felt, I got the sense that she was just like, man, I feel stupid for even being there.
But she enjoyed the time with the animals, though, right?
Well, which I can see. I can see. Yeah. You know, if you like animals and you like, taking care of them and stuff, that part wasn't the hard part. It was all the other crazy things where, you volunteered and got yourself. Well, didn't volunteer. You somehow woke up and got breast implants, and all of a sudden now you're part of the family.
right. Yeah. I don't know. It's just the whole thing's crazy. The whole thing's weird.
Yeah.
And what about smuggling tigers into Las Vegas hotels?
Oh,
and what about that being crazy. The least creepy thing that guy did the entire show?
Right. That's true too. But that's just, man, it's just I don't know.
Let's ask, do you think that, well, first off, let's, do you think Carol killed her second husband?
I think it's highly possible that happened.
I here's my theory. I think her daddy got rid of her husband.
Yeah. The Mitch McConnell looking dude.
No, Carol's dad.
That's her husband.
That's her husband. Did you watch this?
Okay. I got you. I see what you're saying. Now.
Yeah, I think.
I think it was a family thing.
I think it was a family thing. I think Carol was like, I think he's going to leave me, Paul. And, you know, it was a time where they were getting along together and stuff because now she had money and they had reconciled and basically deputies. So they were like, well, I guess we need you to keep this money. So Paul, her dad, supposedly staged a hit, and maybe Carol don't know the details, but Carol probably knows, well, he ain't going to bother you anymore.
right. Yeah.
Because the way they described him was he wasn't going to leave that much money on the table to just disappear. Even if he had like an offshore account with a whole bunch of money, he's not going to leave that money, you know, money.
His whole family too. He has family and kids. Like he's not going to, you know, remain in contact with them.
No, he wasn't really a nice guy anyway. It was basically he left his wife and his kids and really didn't care about them for like a long period of time. And so, but the fact of the matter is, if he had a restraining order and stuff, he was trying to keep as much money as he could. His plan did not come into fruition. So,
yeah. I mean, I think the whole situation is highly suspicious, and you know, it seems like nobody investigated that.
Yeah,
and it seems like somebody should look into that. But
yes,
my next question: do you think Jeff had Joe sign over the zoo, and then framed him for the attempted hit?
Yeah, I think so. That seems like that's quite likely as well.
Yeah, I think so too. Do you think that I don't know how to word this. Doc Antle. I'm guessing that he goes down in the next year.
Oh, yeah, I could kind of see that happening. Yeah. I mean, it seems like
weird stuff going on there.
Right. There's definitely some kind of shady things going on because they were even talking about where they feel that he might be, you know, shooting some of his tigers and burying them in the backyard or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it seems, you know, something's going on there.
I want to say this, a couple things too. Howard Baskin, the, Carol's newest husband.
Yeah.
The pictures that they showed of him in leopard print things on a
leash. Yes.
Yeah. That right there is a picture I never needed to see.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know.
Do you think Joe Exotic burnt down the crocodile pen that had all of Rick's stuff in it?
I think that's probably likely.
Yeah.
Just from some of the recordings that they had of when they were kind of like talking about, oh, he's got stuff in there that we don't want to get out, and you know, and everything. And then the next thing you know, he's out of town. And then the place mysteriously catches on fire. It's just too convenient.
Am I the only one that like trying to understand this hit? Now the guy was Alan. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Alan didn't like Joe at all. So why would you even agree to do anything for Joe, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
This story didn't make any sense.
So, like, how did... Yeah, that story made no sense. It's like, why would you agree to do that? So he's like... Yeah, that was all Jeff.
James Gerritsen, the Chucky guy. I have a feeling that he was wanted for more things than buying a lemur or whatever it was he said.
No, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sold a stolen Hummer and all that kind of crap they were saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's no way you would have been doing that much time for a lemur.
No, yeah. The guy just looks shady and slimy in general.
Isn't he the one that opened up the pizza shop too?
What was that?
I think so.
He's the one that opened up the pizza shop that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Inside the park that served the old meat.
Right, right, right.
Yep. And there's one other thing that I feel kind of, it didn't get said so much as implied, but Joe Exotic's campaign manager was the sporting goods associate that used to sell him ammunition at the local Walmart.
Right, right, right.
That was how he chose his campaign.
I mean, it's a natural selection for that kind of role, I think, right?
Right.
Dude, that's the job I always wanted to do.
Right, right, right. Not right. To prepare for campaign manager. That's my dream job. That is just crazy.
Yeah,
but you know, like he seemed to run like a kind of a successful. You know, his presidential campaign didn't seem to be successful, but his campaign for governor seemed to be much more successful, even though he didn't win. But it seemed like he got a decent amount of votes, though.
It was said 19% on the screen. And if that isn't a glaring reason why democracy doesn't work, I don't know what else is. 20% of the people. Well, right, I don't know who he was up against in that gubernatorial race. So.
Yeah, yeah. But it's hard to imagine a candidate that would be better than Joe Exotic.
Exactly.
I don't know. What if let's just imagine that he did win. how would Tiger King end then?
If he won,
yeah. If he won, he probably. You think he'd end up in prison still?
No, because I don't think I you know what? Possibly because he could not stop.
Threatening Carol Baskin.
Yeah, he couldn't stop doing it. He just couldn't.
Yeah. That's wrong. In fact, he might try to use his newfound governor powers to enact some kind of revenge on her.
Like imagine him going to Washington and talking to, you know, the another governor of Florida, like that Carol Baskins. You know what? You need to get rid of that Carol Baskins.
Right, 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 right. That's a. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you know, I just thought of somebody that could maybe play him, Kid Rock,
to play Joe
Exotic. Yeah, he'd just have to dye his hair a little bit, maybe.
You know, no, he wouldn't. A bit.
No, he would. No, no.
He's good just the way he is.
I think he just have to show up and just, you don't even have a script. You could just, hey, just start talking.
Just start talking.
Got a music career and everything.
He does. He does. No. You know what? You know, I am going to say this. I don't know if they've, you know, manipulated any of the vocals or anything, but but he actually sounded pretty good singing, I thought.
A spoiler alert. During during that interview David Spade did with Great Value Dave Bautista, he said that I can't remember his name right now. I don't have the screen up. With John Finley, he said that he hired someone to sing those songs for him.
That
makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
I'm a little disappointed by that, I guess, but you know, yeah, I want it to really be him singing, but you know, the guy's got enough talent as it is, you know, you know, if he was a great singer too, then life wouldn't, you know, seem fair. He has too many gifts.
So much winning you can do. We should have Charlie Sheen play him.
Ah, yeah. He's got the tiger blood.
But I'm going to talk about something real quick, just slightly related to Joe Exotics, because I have IMDb pulled up. And I don't know why, but there's a user list next to this that says on my screen that says actors who should do full frontal. And it's got a picture of Guy Fieri. And I don't understand. I'm not clicking on it. That curiosity will go unquenched. But.
And you're on what website?
IMDb. I went to Tiger King. I was on the full cast and crew. And I clicked on Joe Exotic. Are you checking it out?
No.
Oh, you're writing it down for later use?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Bookmarking it for...
Putting it in the spank bank.
So, what do you guys think? You think there'll be a second season of Tiger King?
I don't know how they'd possibly make a second
season. Yeah, I don't know either.
After seeing it, 3/4 of the cast probably wouldn't be on it.
That's probably true. There'd probably be a lot of people that would probably choose not to be on it. That's too bad, though.
It is.
Because
they might be able to do a follow-up episode, you know, in a couple of years, see how things have turned out.
Yeah. Or even if they maybe just kept an eye on Joe Exotic. I mean, I guess it wouldn't necessarily still have to involve tigers if it maybe just, because I'm sure if once he gets out of prison, he would probably totally just want some kind of documentary to be made about his life just so he could be in the spotlight, I'm thinking. So I could see a follow-up Joe Exotic documentary maybe, but not one including all the people that have been in Tiger King though. Like Carol Baskin is probably not happy about the way she's portrayed and all the accusations are kind of being pointed in her direction as to what happened, and you know.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine probably, any of them. I mean, with the exception,
yeah, nobody's really.
They all come off.
Yeah. Nobody's portrayed in too much of a positive spotlight, really. The one thing that I think I had mentioned to you guys about the wonderful whites of West Virginia, Jesco White, the dancing outlaw. That's
yes.
It kind of, I don't know if you guys had a chance to look at any videos of him or not.
Not yet.
No.
You know, a lot of parallels I think could kind of be drawn from that, except for, you know, there's no tigers. There's no exotic animals. Jesco White is not gay, but he's also a guy that enjoys being in the spotlight. You know, and his obsession, instead of being obsessed with tigers, he's obsessed with tap dancing.
Okay.
Because he's the dancing outlaw. I also think that, you know, it seemed like, and I can't remember because it's been a little while since I've seen that, the wonderful, or the wild whites of West Virginia, or however, I forget exactly how it goes. But there was a lot of meth involved in that too, I think. So, so there's kind of, there's some parallels to that. Yeah. Drug. So, yeah, it's, and that's pretty much, that's, that whole thing's pretty much a train wreck to watch too. It's pretty entertaining. So,
have you ever heard of, this is only loosely related to Netflix documentaries, have you ever heard of McCamey Manor?
I don't think so.
It's a haunted house, founded by a guy named Russ McCamey. And, it's a haunted house where the tour can last up to 8 hours.
8 hours.
And you have to sign, a liability waiver to participate. And in it, it goes through all the different types of torture you might have to endure while you're there.
Oh, is this like a entertainment haunted house type deal, right?
It's not like an escape room. Each weekend, there's just a couple people. You have to go through a physical before you're allowed in. There is no payment. He only accepts payment in dog food.
What the what?
You have to be 21 to get in. The tour lasts from 4 to 8 hours. And it says no guest has made it all the way through. He previously didn't allow safe words. But now it says, I'm reading the Wikipedia page right now. There's a waiting list of over 24,000 people.
That is crazy.
The newest iteration of the performance is a 10-hour experience called Desolation. It offers a prize of $20,000 for successful completion, but deducts $500 from the prize for every failed challenge or use of profanity. But yeah, you have to sign, and basically that says that, that it's all in fun and you're not allowed to hit the people that are doing the things to you. Basically you can't fight back. But some of the things it says that might happen, and like no one will talk about it, is you may get buried alive. You, like, I forget what all there was. You could get waterboarded. They were sued by one person, and he videotapes the whole thing. You can be drunk.
Yeah, that sounds... Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, no, I'd never do. It's a 40-page waiver listing all the possible risks.
What's crazy endured, is there's a waiting list, right?
Including pulling out their own teeth, a chance of getting a tattoo, or getting your fingernails pulled out. Those are all things that are listed on the waiver. Jeez. But it was briefly on a documentary series called Dark Tourist. One of the episodes talked about it a little bit.
Oh, I've seen the like commercials for that show.
But I hadn't heard anything about it, and just was reading something about it recently. I was like, oh my gosh, that's crazy.
That is kind of crazy. That seems like almost some underground hostel stuff going on there.
Yeah. Well, it sounds to me like somebody who really wanted to torture people tried to
figure out a way to
do it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what that seems like. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. So I said all that to say, the next time you guys come over to visit, you have to sign a waiver. Yeah.
Oh man. So I don't know. It seems like we're missing some other stuff on Tiger King, but I don't know. I'm not sure what else we can really cover. There's just so much though. It's a lot to take in. It is. Cause every episode is another, you know, like, oh my God, can't get crazier than this. And it does.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's where I guess we're done talking about Tiger King. Is there anything else we wanted to finish off with?
It's a must see if you have not seen it. I don't know what you're waiting for.
Yeah, and it's probably the documentary series that America needs right now.
How is this even happening?
Yeah, it's just crazy.
Yeah, it's great when you can go and look at something like that and go, simpler times.
Right. right. So, all right. You think? Okay, that maybe we'll end on this. I'll ask you guys this question: do you think Joe Exotic is going to get freed from prison?
Without significant evidence that he's innocent of it, and there were just too many counts. Even if they found him not guilty of the other thing, there's enough people that testified against him for animal cruelty that he'd be in there for a while.
Right. Yeah. That is true.
I don't remember where I saw this. The way he ended up with the property is he bought a giant horse farm. And then he bought a tiger, and gradually over time, he just fed the horses to the tigers.
That documentary
maker guy on there said that he literally saw a woman come and donate her horse to them because it was old. She couldn't take care of it anymore. And he said that he'd take care of it. And she was barely off the property before he shot it.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
So, I mean, take that for what it's worth. It's hearsay at this point.
Yeah.
I don't think the strangest crime he's committed is animal cruelty.
No, that's probably true. That's probably true.
But if I learn nothing else, I learn that tiger keepers know their way around polyamorous relationships.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I remember when we first got introduced to Doc, and I'm looking at the people who are working there. I'm like, these women sure got like just some skimpy outfits on.
That's how he likes them.
The more I was watching, I'm like, whoa. I mean, I'm like literally all of them. Like even the people taking the money, I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah, it's he's got a whole other thing happening. I don't know.
Yeah, it's funny too, is because time and time again they kind of show how the tigers, you know, the petting of the baby tigers, how that can go wrong. And not in terms of like your safety, but in terms of once the cat gets to a certain age, it's not useful anymore. And what do they do with it then? You know, like there's lots of questions raised, but I'll bet you that more people visit tiger parks because of this documentary than ever. Once we're allowed.
That could be. Yeah. I can see what you're saying. Yeah. People got the wrong message from the documentary.
I'll bet you people get a wrong message from it. And it's a shame because the documentary does not paint any of these people in a positive light.
No. Yeah, because to be perfectly honest with you, I would never thought you'd be able to do any of the things that with a tiger that they kind of showed that you could do at these parks. You know, pet a tiger, hold a baby tiger.
Yeah, I didn't know that thing yeah. that existed. I was just more the amount of time that it showed people in pens with full grown tigers.
Right, right.
That's just surprising to me.
That's pretty crazy. Yeah. Because you would think that there's no way that's could be safe or could even be, you know, condoned.
Yeah.
Oh. Pretty crazy.
And we got a sneak appearance from Shaq.
We did, yes.
We did. That's true. That's right. I forgot he was in it briefly. Yeah. I wonder how he feels about being in that documentary.
He probably feels fine.
Yeah. So I didn't know. Shaq didn't know if Shaq knew what was going on. Yeah. Shaq wouldn't have been in it.
Didn't know it was bad.
Didn't know it was bad.
Yeah, he didn't come off as being a jackass or anything. To be honest with you, before watching this documentary, would I have visited one of these places? Maybe.
Yeah. I would say that too, that I would consider, like, if I saw a road sign that said that, hey, you can pet and hold a live baby tiger, I think, oh yeah, because you're going to see that and not think, oh, this is, you know, there's laws in place that are protecting these animals. Oh, there's no way that anything bad could happen or, you know, occur from this, but you know, apparently that's not always the case. Yes, sir. All right. Well, I guess if we don't have we have anything else to we're gonna wrap it up then.
Yeah, I think that's all we got to say.
That's all we got to say about Tiger King. So yeah. What's the full title? Murder, Mayhem, and...
Carol fucking Baskins.
And Carol fucking Baskins. that Carol.
Yeah, bitch. What is the full title? Murder, Mayhem, and Madness.
Murder, Mayhem, and Madness. There you go. And mullets, they should have added it in the end there.
Glorious.
glorious mullets. So, all right. Yeah. Well, I guess we'll wrap up with that then. And, check us out on the internet.
Right. Check us out on allmyissues.com. You can listen to our podcasts on Google Play and your iTunes and other places where you listen to your podcasts.
All right. And then hopefully one of these days soon, we'll be able to do this together again. Remotely,
and but I guess up until too.
You know, we're gonna try to continue doing this as much as we can, I guess, right? keep recording the podcasts.
Yes.
So, all right.
All right. Stay safe.
Yep. Stay safe.
Except thanks for listening. Fucking Baskins.
Bye.
Bye.